Wi-Fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
We're back from the mothballs!
Why do you have to be that way?
Well, come on! It's been forever! We've been missing stuff. There's an audience that's been waiting. They've been waiting.
I know. We have great people on Twitter that listen to us. Hello, Charles. Hello, Stephanie. She was here. Did you remember me telling you that?
I know. And that I missed out on the all-girl pillow party, slumber party. I'm hurt. I really wish I had been there for
you
that.
You ignored our calls, and we were drinking, we were high-fiving, all in person. You know.
Tell me more.
Yeah, no. not like that. I might not have seen so many movies this summer season.
And why is that? Why have you abandoned your science fiction roots this summer?
Let's see. Do you want the truth? Or let me just give you, because I don't want to be putting all my personal business out there. But let's just say I was financially challenged.
Oh, see, that's not what you were supposed to say. You were supposed to say you were studying and being diligent and doing your work.
Over the summer?
Yeah, well, yeah.
No, your girl was broke. And now I'm not broke because I have my new iPhone 5S 64 gig.
Wait a second, you just bought that?
I bought that today.
So I guess that means you're broke again now.
No, I'm not. I'm not broke anymore. I woke up at 4 a.m. I went to the AT&T store and got in line. I was number ninth in line, and I got my phone. They did not have the gold or the silver. I got the space gray. I mean, this line was happening. Wow, they served us coffee and donuts. Some dude brought a crock pot of something that I missed out on. I mean, it was nice.
Wow. Yeah, that was in New York, right?
Yes.
Because the news ticker on CNN is going by me right now, and it says some Houston Apple fans were robbed at gunpoint early this morning while waiting in line. So, that's probably not the service that you wanted to be a part of there.
Well, I'm in Ithaca, so we didn't have that problem. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on in Houston right now. Gunpoint, really? Whatever. It's just a phone. Like rob somebody for money and buy your phone.
That's probably what they were up to. You see, in line before the phones, you see.
But, like, they would have money in credit card form, not cash.
Well, you know, criminals aren't that smart.
Right. Right. Yeah. But us here on the Sci-Fi Podline, we are smart.
That's and right.
So smart that we're going to talk to you about the timely release of Man of Steel.
Man, we are on top, the very cusp of movie watching, folks. Y'all ain't ready for us. Because, you know, Man of Steel is what we're talking about. So
it's the hot ticket.
There might be spoilers, y'all. Might be spoilers in this episode. So look out. Look out.
Oh my God. I can't even remember what happened.
You are slacking, girl. You are slacking. I called you like 2 days after going, let's do this.
I watched it, but then like stuff happened. I was out of town in Houston. I went back home, see my people. Then I went to New Orleans. I mean, I just been on an adventure, a broke adventure.
Those can be the most interesting. You never know what's going to happen on a broken venture. You end up on other people's floors, you know, hanging out at their disposal. You really don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that was my life there for a second, but I'm back. Right. I am not poor anymore.
All right.
Even guess what, Carl?
What's that? What?
I've decided to go to Dragon Con.
What?
So, yeah, I have the money to pay for it. I have a project due, though, because I'm part of this scholars committee, and I have to make sure that it does not dip into that time. And once I do, I'm there.
That is awesome. I think it is long overdue for you to be at Dragon Con. And, of course, master seamstress of costumes. I cannot wait to see. Well, because, you see, I've just been slacking with my proton packs, my Men in Black guns. But you, my dear, fashion designer extraordinaire, I can't wait to see what you're going to come up with. No pressure.
I wasn't thinking about...
I can't wait to see what you are going to do.
I was not thinking about costuming. I was just going to wear a t-shirt.
There are multiple days of Dragon Con, so you probably have 2 or 3 costumes, you know, that you're going to get started on right now.
I said
you'll be
that.
Ready. I can't wait.
I mean, it's going to be pretty hot, and I'm not really sure if I want to dress up in a costume.
You're from Texas. I don't worry about that. Rocket Girl. Can't wait.
I don't know if I want to. I mean, don't expect anything.
Expect
nothing, and then maybe something will happen.
Wrong.
Live your life like that.
That's the wrong way to begin this total, right?
Are you going to Dragon Con, or are you going to, like, let me go by myself?
Well, you see, this year, I had some financial difficulties.
That's this year. It's about next year.
Oh, yes. Well, next year, I'm going. I'm going. I can't go. I can't miss more than 1 year in a row. So, yes, I'll be back.
So, this year, we don't have a Dragon Con report because usually Carl is like, I did this and I met blah, blah, and I hung out and blee, blee, blah. And
you know what? You know what? Why I feel so bad about this? Because there was a tweeter named Felicia Numico, and she said, your report on the podcast made us decide to go to Dragon Con this year. So she was there.
Aww.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Okay, so next year's going to be ultimate sci-fi party line. It's going to be all there. It's going to be me. It's going to be Carl. It's going to be Hanako.
Let's get Eric.
Maybe we can get Eric there. Maybe we can get Stephanie there. They roll in the dough. They could come to Dragon Con, I think.
You know what? At this rate, we ought to get a table. Sci-fi party line, table, right there.
Why do we need a table? Why can't we, like, rent a thing and have a podcast right there?
That's what I'm talking about. That's the table we're at.
Oh, yeah.
Not like the booth. It's, I mean, you know, where people can come in and, you know, we can interview.
People might not know us.
What are you talking about? We are the Sci-Fi Party Line. We've only been broadcasting since 1974. So, you know, I think you should start a writing campaign.
Okay, well, Carl has threatened to not go next year too, so we'll see if that happens. Because
I'm waiting to see Kat. You know how she is. She says I promised.
I've never, like, purchased the Dragon Con. What do you call that? The
ticket.
To get in, because you have a membership. The membership.
All right, whatever. I just call it a ticket. But whatever.
And then if I pay for the hotel, it's not like I'm just gonna let that go.
Yes, well, if you're going to buy the hotel, you need to buy it soon, because,
October 9th.
Yeah, well, that's, like, 2/3 of them are sold out already, so we need to hurry.
I know. Right. And then, you know, Carl, if you're broke, all you have to do is, you can sleep on the floor.
Well, you let me sleep on the floor? If I bring a little tin cup and rattle it outside, will you let me in?
Well, you never made this offer for me.
I sure did, and you just said, no, I'm going to be too cool to hang out with you, Carl. I'm not going. That's what you said.
I've never said such a thing, sir.
I said, please grace me with your presence. You're like, I don't think so, loser, and then you ran off, so fine.
That is not how that went.
I recall that.
Whatever. Okay, let's talk about Man of Steel.
Yes.
So, I didn't hate this film. Let's start off like that. I don't know if that's positive or negative. I heard some negative things about it. I was actually compelled by the beginning of the film. It kind of reminded me of Star Trek 2008, the way Dad died at the beginning and the parents, and there was crying and you wanted to cry. However, at this beginning of the film, I wanted to see more of that film. I mean, it felt like a whole little universe unto itself, and I want to see what happened there, because Russell Crowe was kind of awesome in the little minutes of life that he had.
It did start quite epically. I mean, if you think about the original movie Superman, it started, again, back on Krypton. There was a lot of stuff happening, you know, and the launch of the... So to see that updated in a very modern environment. Man, Krypton was cool looking. I got to tell you.
It was almost too much.
They did a great job creating, you know, this. You know, the whole reason I watch science fiction is because I like to go to different places and I like to see different worlds. Don't drag me to Planet Canada every damn time. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So when you open up a movie like this and everything, you know, that freakish stalactite teardrop thing going on, and, you know, they had the little floating guy like from Battlestar Galactica hanging around, you know,
yeah.
And everything was really, really unique. And it was a sooty future looking world that I thought was kind of cool. So I really enjoyed that place.
I did. I wanted more. And why we didn't get more, I don't know.
Because it was expensive is why we didn't get more. The battle. Well, you see the explosions and stuff.
Man, it was so nice, Carl.
They were playing. They were not. They opened it quite well.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me. What was that show that we watched that got canceled in one season? Oh, God.
Which one?
There were so many. Sorry. The one on Fox with the dinosaurs.
Terra Nova.
You know how it started out, that pilot was just so amazing?
I don't remember.
And on the future.
That's why I didn't even know what show you were talking about. What? Terra Nova?
Okay, you know what? Never mind. I'm not talking to you right now. Anyway, Krypton was awesome.
The costumes were great. Not at all like Terra Nova.
That's not what I'm talking. I'm just saying how like Terra Nova pilot was so awesome, and then we got like Planet Canada the rest of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, but whatever. Yes. So yes, it did. And what's his name? Zach, the director guy who made the
Snyder?
Film. Thank you. That's right. Does a really good job. Because I mean, we're talking about what was the Watchmen caliber stuff? You know, when you saw, I always loved.
That's the, not a compliment.
But hang on now. I always loved the look of Watchmen. I love the look of Watchmen. I mean, that was comic book otherworldly. It was incredible. It was beautiful. I love the look.
I can't remember that. All I remember was being traumatized.
Okay, look. The story needed some help, and the pacing needed some help, which is why when I heard that he was involved with, you know, Man of Steel, I was immediately worried. Because, you know, his pacing is not always the best. So
yeah, he does fine.
So, what do you mean he does fine? What did you don't like Watchmen? You didn't like?
Well, that's just the one film.
Okay. How about Sucker Punch?
I enjoyed that.
Well, that's right. You did like Sucker Punch.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, so
I appreciate where he went with that.
Anywho, he does a great job of making stuff look good, and so I was excited about that.
Oh but yeah, he made stuff look good.
Okay. stay on topic, please. So how about, you know, Kevin Costner? How about that? That was cool, right? Pops was cool.
He seemed a little old to me. Like older than he should have been.
What? All right. Kevin Costner. I'm thinking about
Smallville, and I want to see like somebody I could, you know. I don't know. He just seemed like overly old.
Really? You thought so? Look, he's weathered.
It made me want to stand up.
Okay.
We'll always
be don't go there. Don't do that. Please stop. I thought he was weathered and all American. I mean, I thought it was a good choice for all American dad. So I liked him. I thought it was good.
Canada, Canadian.
But yes, but you know, you, that's not how we think of him. We claimed him. We just kind of claim folks.
All right.
So, yes.
Anywho, now speaking of All American, Carl, yes. This film, after we got from Krypton, the rest of the whole planet Earth looked great. There was some sort of filter they were using in this film the whole time that just gave everything a really great, almost tactile texture that you could just feel in the film, and it was very warm, and I just really appreciated looking at this thing because it felt like something that I won't say I've never seen before, but I haven't seen in a while, and it was just really great and pleasing to the eye.
Yep, I'm with you. I don't quite know how to describe the feel of what it was that we were seeing.
I just did, and that was perfect.
But see, I'm going to challenge you on the warm. Because while I could feel it and I was embraced by it at all times, it still felt kind of, gray and I don't know.
I'm talking about the amber tones on the
childhood.
Farm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Those were warm to me. Okay. The other things, yeah. I mean, of course, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, good directing, good cinematography. That's it. Because, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who can sort of craft the look of the film in a way that is meaningful. All right, well, even before we go with meaningful, that just has a consistent feel. I hate to say it, but okay, Michael Bay has a look to his film that is a burnt out, you know, it's sort of like a burnt sepia to it. They're gritty, they're fast moving, they're blurry.
We've had this conversation, haven't we?
Yes, but they do have a look to them. You can quote it. James Cameron, he's got the same thing, except he's got sort of a steely blue to the stuff that he makes. You can see it in The Abyss. You can see it in Terminator and Aliens. You can see it in all. You can see it in Avatar. But each one of these directors sort of has their own little unique feel. So I dig it. I liked it. And it's strange that there are so few directors that do that uniquely, though. I mean, with as much money as people put into films and as long as they as much time as they invest, it seems like, you know, everybody would want to put their own spin or their own kind of signature somehow on the film. But we just don't, you don't see it that often. But yeah, Zach, definitely. You definitely saw it.
Right. So how did you feel about the Man of Steel himself? Like, was he Brandon Routh bad to you? Was he better? Was he Clark Kent great? Was he Smallville awesome? Like, how was he on the range of Superman?
To be honest, I didn't think Brandon Routh was bad. I just thought the whole frame that he was in was not interesting. I think he was a colder Superman to me than I would have preferred. Because I always liked
which he?
Our present Superman.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, not as cold as Brandon Routh. But that was because of writing, not because of... He just felt... I mean, obviously he felt alone, which is clear. You know, that's what they wanted us to feel throughout the story. But throughout the history of the movies of Superman and a lot of the comic books, there was always a sort of a youthful wonder about Superman.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, he was impressed, well, I'm not going to say impressed, he was embracing of humanity and humans, and he was interested in us, and I'm not going to say he wanted to be more like us, but he seemed like, for the most part, he felt more at home here than all of the influence from Krypton. You know, he had the classical, you know, claim the new home immigrant status kind of thing, where, you know, he was like, hey, this is my home now, and I love it. I didn't quite get that in this film from him. I felt kind of like, you know, he always felt isolated in all stories, but this time he felt really, really sort of angsty alone.
Rocking the 9-inch nails.
Yeah, you know, he was scruffy, and he was an outsider. You know, he just, I'm gonna work on an oil rig for a while. I'm gonna be a longshoreman. Minimize human contact. You know, everything. He's hitchhiking with the gruffy beard. You know, it just.
You know what, though, Carl? I like that about him because this is the first time he felt alien to me. Because, and I think him as a British actor added that extra alienness because his speech wasn't entirely, like, Americanized. But, I mean, his accent wasn't bad at all. I didn't have a problem with it. But I liked that he actually felt like a different person, so much so than when General Zod came. They felt kind of the same,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. They had that detached something that you were talking about that you just can't quite get into him, you know, which was different from guy on Smallville, whose name I can't remember right now, but shame on me. But but yeah, I really agree with that. Was a great observation that usually Superman seems really warm and friendly, all American and blah, blah, blah. But here he seemed alien, but I did not have a problem with that.
It was different, and that's the whole trend with modern movies and superheroes. You know, starting in the late 80s, if you're a superhero, you got to be meaner. You got to be more gritty. You got to be more separate. You know, it started with with Batman, 80, 88, 89 Batman. And just ever since then, every superhero's got to be dark. But
yeah.
But hey, look, I recognize the trend. I embrace it. And, you know, hey, superheroes got a rough time to go. So I miss, you know, a happier, more embracing kind of superhero. But that probably wouldn't have flown, no pun intended, in the theater these days. So, but, you know, hey, you know, Christopher Reeve is always my favorite.
Yeah, so. He went to Cornell. Anyway, the love story, Lois Lane. I don't think she was obnoxious enough to be Lois Lane.
Yeah, she was pretty obnoxious.
No, she was like, I liked her. And I was like, well, I never liked Lois Lane in the films ever. She's always kind of abrasive, but she was like a softer Lois Lane.
Just barely,
but it was softer.
I wasn't a tremendous fan of Lois. Yeah, most of the time when I watch Lois, the persistence and the rough edges she has seem to have a context. You know, it's because she's a hard-driving reporter. It's because she wants to know things. It's because I didn't get a motivation in this movie. She just seemed upset all the time, and I didn't quite get, you know, that in context. You know, I didn't feel why she was so angry, and nor did I feel. Did you feel chemistry between the two of them?
I don't remember the chemistry. Did they kiss?
Well, see, first of all, the fact that we can't remember is pretty sad, but it's been. But I didn't feel much chemistry between the two of them. I did. I mean,
well, yeah. I kind of wasn't paying attention to her.
Oh, jeez. Hating.
I was focused on other things.
Mm-hmm. Back off, girl.
Oh, yes. But, so we go through the whole film. You know, I had a problem with the amount of property damage in this film. But let me tell you why. You know, Superman is supposed to, like, not harm, you know, do no harm, not harming the humans. But in his fight with General Zod, he just tore up a lot of crap. He was not careful. He did not consider the bills people had to pay when he destroyed buildings. I don't know if he's going to help build them back up or anything. But I just thought he was kind of irresponsible. He let debris fly everywhere. He wasn't checking to see if people were hurt or not. See, and he just didn't.
That is exactly part of what I mean when I said this is a colder, more distant Superman.
Yeah.
If that had been Christopher Reeve, he would have been running around with an umbrella and, you know, 2x4s trying to catch everything that fell down. And just, not this one. He's like, screw it. Bill me.
Yeah.
Now, regarding the property damage, I have got to say this was the fight scenes in Man of Steel were epic. This was the first time I ever saw a battle of Supermen in a movie and felt like, yeah, that's really what it would look like if you had Supermen and women battling it out. This is what everything was just dead on in terms of the magnitude, in terms of the feel of the impact, in terms of you just like when he took off and the ground's like cracking up underneath him, or when he would come down, you know, when there was a punch and you just see the glass implode around.
Yeah, but I think that at this point, at that age, he would know how to control that. They're going to have to repair those roads, and that's government. You know,
don't worry about the bill.
Taxpayers have to pay for that crap if he's not going to lay the road again.
Look, don't worry about the bill. Let's go back to the first thing that you said, which is, you know, he should have known better by now. But the thing is, remember, I don't think he's had a chance to just ball out Superman all, you know, in his whole life. This is the first time he had to really use all of his abilities to try to stop, you know, somebody of equal power. So he probably
But Christopher Reeves didn't do all that.
But look, we did. Now you told me it's not the same thing here.
Still.
I mean, you know, because you know, compared to the three the three Kryptonians Christopher Reeve had to deal with, these guys are a little bit different. They weren't just, you know, blowing steam and, you know, and wind at somebody's kind of. These guys are bringing buildings down on folks.
Nice.
So I really, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, fault them on the property damage. I think
in the next film they should show him
fixing some stuff.
Yeah, I really think they should, just to make a commentary on us adults who pay taxes that, you know, it's not cool to mess up the roads. We got to drive on that. I have an off-road vehicle, but damn it.
You know, there is that commercial. Did you see the commercial where I think it's like a Subway ad or something where Superman comes in and lands in the middle of the street and he stops, you know, kind of skids on the street and scarps up the whole street and he looks down the walkway and there's like a repair dude, like a certain, you know, a maintenance guy there going, really, dude, I just fixed the street.
So Superman is a dick. Okay.
See, whatever. Let's just say he was a little bit more concerned with making sure the planet didn't implode.
He could have just flown around it backwards.
Okay. You know what? I'm glad that did not happen at any point. You know what? I also really liked the black hole drill. That thing was awesome. I mean, that thing had some.
Okay,
bait.
So I have a problem with that.
What?
So let me tell you. So, okay. While I was watching this film, you know, I was like, do not bring it into Earth orbit. Don't bring the planet into Earth orbit. Don't do it. But they did something equally idiotic. Okay, so you've been searching the entire galaxy for a planet that can match Krypton. Earth does not match Krypton. He could have put Krypton on a moon. He could have went to Mars and merged them and then did his planet building crap. But no, he wants to come in on Earth messing up stuff. Why would he do that? Nobody needs Earth. There's like eight other planets you can settle on, plus other Earths or other, I'm sorry, planets out there that you can inhabit. Why people gotta come to Earth messing up stuff? Why? We don't need planets in Earth orbit. Krypton did not need to merge with Earth. That's stupid. The Transformers did not need to come to Earth. They could have stayed on the moon. I don't understand what people's problem is. If he liked the yellow sun and the power, he could have went to Venus. It's hot. It's closer to the sun. Okay, he could have flew up to the sun. I don't understand why the destruction of Earth had to happen. His motivations for doing that right on top of the planet. Why was he angry with Clark?
The answer is simple.
He is like, we're the only Kryptons left. Well, you know what, dude? Why don't you calm the F down, take it to Mars, and I'm going to come and visit you and help you build that planet, and we can do this together. No, he got to come in messing up stuff on Earth and killing people. And I'm like, that just doesn't make sense. Like,
Zod couldn't get along with other Kryptonians on Krypton. So, you know, he comes out here, he sees this, you know, because remember, this is his nemesis' son. So, you know, already he's got a little beef going on right there. And he's like, oh, see, pretty boy made it off the planet. I'm sitting here trying to fix stuff, y'all jacking stuff up, but I know I got a solution. I'm going to come to Earth here and do the same thing I was going to do on Krypton. Drill, baby, drill. We got this. And see, he was up there going, no, we've got to save the Earth. Mm-mm. It's the environment. What? That's not how it went.
We drill, baby, drill?
That's what he's doing, right? Okay. I am not equating that to anything at all whatsoever. I'm merely saying big Earth drill, the gravitational black hole. But anyway, he wasn't very concerned about the Earth.
You know, Nero had more of a motivation than this guy. And Nero's motivation was stupid.
Then Nero was pretty lame. But, okay, the other thing is, and here's the real reason why everybody's got to come to Earth to jack stuff up. Because if they set a movie on Mars, it wouldn't make box office.
Carter Burns.
Everybody, thank you.
John Carter.
Even if it had a cute six-legged dog thing running around, it just wouldn't make money. So you got to mess up Earth.
It's the marketing, man.
Gotta mess up Earth.
Oh, that was Disney and their crazy marketing. Don't be like that on the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast, Carl.
I gotta be me. But so yeah, well, okay. Yes, the motivations were a little thin. I will give you that. Zod had some issues, and they were unclear. So could have done a better job. But look, we ain't had a decent villain, you know, in a really, really long time.
Your motivation's got to be there for it to be believable. It has to make me feel like, now, wait a second, he could have took that crap to Mars. And somebody on, like, a very low level, I think everybody felt that. He could have took that crap to Mars. He didn't have to merge Krypton with Earth. That's stupid.
Well, hey, look, it would not have been visually as interesting. Besides, this way we got the cool, you know, gravitational drill. There's punching holes in downtown Metropolis. That was awesome. Then Morpheus had to save a girl. It was awesome. You remember Morpheus?
Yeah, taxpayers.
Look, he saved the planet. I'll cut him some slack, all right? We'll give it up. We'll consider it a write-off. Consider it a write-off.
Whatever. Whatever. So I was confused at the end where they did everything. He revealed himself to Lois Lane, blah, blah, blah. So he started working at the Daily Planet and he put on the glasses. Can no one recognize him now? Or was that just a joke?
Of course not. The glasses make him completely invisible.
Why, when I put on my glasses, people still recognize me?
Because you don't normally wear a cape. See, that's what you ought to do. If you had on a cape normally, and then you put on your sunglasses and took off your cape, they would think you were too totally different.
Oh, so this is like the time that, not Katy Perry, what's the chick from New Girl, that TV show?
Yeah,
she always wears little bangs, and she pulled her hair up, and nobody knew who she was.
Yes, her, right.
Yeah, that chick.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
what that's like. I don't want to do the whole glasses, no glasses thing.
You got to. That's Superman. That is Clark Kent. That's classic. You got to do that. You got to do it.
So not only are we going to have to sit through the glasses thing, we're going to have to sit through Ben Affleck being Batman.
Oh, you had to go there. You had to go there. See, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea at all. And
I mean, fine. I was concerned with Christopher Hemsworth when they announced him as Thor. I was concerned with Heath Ledger when they announced him as the Joker. Fine. Yes, I admit this. But
there is a built-in smirky smile to Ben Affleck that I cannot imagine being under the cowl, the Batman cowl.
Well,
I
was told that if I had seen Argo, which I wanted to see because it had, you know, the sci-fi film, but they were doing something, whatever, that I would be able to see him as Batman. I would be able to understand that more.
Did you see
Argo?
Of course. Yes, I did see Argo.
Okay, so what does that mean? I mean, you saw it and you're still not convinced. So.
No, I mean, now I'm not going to say Ben Affleck can act, you know.
Yeah.
So this is not an issue of whether he can act or not.
Is this what movie was it?
Daredevil?
Daredevil. Was that pre-Daredevil and Jiggly or whatever that movie was?
Was that what pre?
But was his being able to act before that?
I'm not going to speculate.
Like, at what point?
I'm not going to speculate on that.
Because I
will simply say, of late, I have seen that he is capable of inheriting other characters.
So which film?
Well, Argo is the newest example. Is the newest example.
But you said you wouldn't convince him as Batman.
Right, because you can act doesn't mean you can play every part, though. I mean, what I'm saying is, Batman has a certain way of carrying himself and a certain persona.
If you think about it, Ben Affleck is like part of the nerd geek culture, so if anybody could do it, wouldn't he?
What? That just because you're a fan doesn't mean that you can pull it off. No. No, I mean, I'll give him credit where I know he probably knows Batman, and I'll give him the geek cred on it. What, you know,
So this is like saying if they were to announce, well, Nicolas Cage did do a Batman, and he was pretty good. And Kick-Ass.
Yeah. Even though he's going crazy these days, I could more easily...
What do you mean these days?
Okay, see, leave it alone.
What has he done?
Oh, leave it alone. Okay. We're not going to go. Nick Cage is going. He's losing his mind. But it's okay. I always love
hair,
Nick Cage. I always love Nick Cage. I can't talk about
and
that.
And I.
All right. But so love. So Ben, we're all a little concerned. We want to see it how things go. I would have preferred someone else as Batman. I really would have preferred someone else. Okay, see, this goes to, all right, let's back up to something else. You know, we have been slacking a little this summer, partially because of financial reasons, but partially.
No, it's Carl's fault, really.
Okay, see, I'm not even going there. But the other thing, you've seen the movies this summer, right? I mean, not, and you've actually been out to see. You've seen the ones that we were presented this summer, the movies that came out.
I felt like I wanted to see a lot of films this summer.
Okay, well, that's
what not... did we, I mean, because we had After Earth.
What is wrong with you? How did you even start with that? Are you making my head or not? That is exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, if you go through the list of sci-fi movies this summer, I would say...
Wolverine was great.
Okay, so let's go on to the list.
I don't know if that... You wanted to see Oblivion. We got Elysium. I didn't see that. World War Z was good. What is this Europa Report? Was that good?
Yeah, that's a little indie film, but that we can talk
Pacific
about that.
Pacific Rim, wasn't that good?
I enjoyed Pacific Rim.
So that wasn't sarcasm?
No, I actually liked Pacific Rim. I did, but that's a long story. Pacific Rim is the absolute dumbest movie that I could still love. I'll put it that way. It was not.
Is it this year's A-Team? Because I loved A-Team so much. I own A-Team and I watched it every time I feel sad, which is a lot.
Yeah, no, I liked A-Team too. All right, here's the thing. Pacific Rim did not make a whole lot of sense. It was just like, why would they? That's just, oh, that's ridiculous. However.
Is it like,
here's
what's
the thing.
That movie that we just talked about, Zack Snyder? Was it Sucker Punch, Dom?
No, it wasn't that bad. But here's the thing. Pacific Rim touched on so many of the sentimental, classic, you know, Godzilla, giant mech anime. It touched on so many of those things and did it well. I gotta say that I cannot not love it. I can't not love it. But let me tell you, some stuff happened in Pacific Rim. It was like, oh, really? Really? Why would you even go there? But it was very, very...
How did you not see Wolverine?
I just got busy. You know, I saw...
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. No.
There was a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I missed that.
Because I feel like you would have seen that.
I was planning on it, but stuff happened.
Okay. So, but, yeah, I know. That's good.
But anyway... I mean, if you think there were, let me see, you managed to list the good ones, all right? I mean,
we had Star Trek Into Darkness, we had Iron Man 3, we had It's the Great and Powerful. Not many, I don't know. Some people are fans, some people aren't.
Awesome.
We have what was the one with Simon Pegg?
Oh, the. So the World's End?
I heard that was really great, but I didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, I heard it was good, too.
So, I mean, I think there's some sleeper hits.
Yeah. Right? There
so,
were.
So you just wasn't into this year?
No, not really. Not really. I wasn't so motivated. You know, some of the bigger movies that, or quote, bigger movies that came out this year... When you think about, like, After Earth was one, Oblivion was one, The Host was one, you know, there were some movies that came out, and let's just say they seem manufactured right from the start.
All movies.
No, I mean, just like, you know, we're going to put this out following a formula and hope we can make some money. And it just really, I mean, look, how many sequels did we see this year? Sequels or prequels and, you know, remakes. And then you get, you know, Lucas and Spielberg coming out saying craziness like, if we have another, you know, $100 million flop this year, it's going to change how movies are. Well, you know, you
could have... That's tall talk from them.
All I'm going to say is, the stuff that flopped this year, you could see flopping months before. I mean, really... Who thought R.I.P.D. was a good idea, all right? I mean, just...
Oh, no, that was...
Enough, when I saw the previews for that, I mean, everybody knows it is a blatant M.I.B. ripoff, except it lacked all of the coolness that made M.I.B. great. It was just so campy, the worst possible casting for that kind of thing. Then the twist that they were it was an old Asian guy and a hot chick. I mean, nothing about
Wait,
that.
Wait, what? Are you spoiling stuff on it? Because I didn't see it.
Well, then you haven't watched all 90 seconds of the preview, because they tell you what the entire film is in the 90 seconds.
So, well, yes, whatever. Just stop talking about. So Carrie's coming out.
What?
You a mean new Carrie remake. Oh, it's a remake. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Oh. But it's going to have our girl we like in it.
Who's in it?
Chloe Moretz, or however you say her name. Hunger Games.
All right. Anyway.
Ender's Game.
I am concerned. I love Ender's Game, the book. I am concerned about Ender's Game, the movie. I just, please, guys. Please do it right. Please, come on.
They have some baggage because the writer's a dick.
But he's always been that. Doesn't mean he couldn't write a good book.
He wrote the one good book and everything else sucked, right?
Didn't I say he couldn't write a good book? The point is, can I just have the movie be consistent? I want the movie to just, can I get just 70% of the coolness of the story? If I could just get that,
so
I'll be.
I wasn't impressed with Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Was that even this year? Jeez.
Yes.
I mean, so my point is, you know, you hear Lucas and Spielberg coming out talking about how, you know, Hollywood keeps making bombs, and because Hollywood is making bombs, it's going to change the way that they sell movie tickets. They're going to try to do some crazy, you know, like different movies will be priced differently and all that kind of craziness. My point is, look, you guys should have known ahead of time, you know, what was going to happen with some of these movies. I mean, you some of the stuff, like, okay, Pacific Rim, that was iffy, and the jury is still out. Box office wise, whether that was a success or not, it didn't do well in America. It did better overseas. Ahead of time, it was hard to tell. Looking at that, is this going to be a big hit? Is this going to be a bomb? I wasn't sure ahead of time. And hey, it's come out. We're still not sure. But when you see stuff like, R.I.P.D. When you see, you know, stuff like, you know, Oblivion. Even Star Trek.
Is that the Tom Cruise?
That's the Tom Cruise one.
Was it bad?
Well, I have not seen it yet.
Well, then what are you talking about?
However, I am taking a poll from the crew. And
what
they,
crew?
The same crew that I listen to before I go to see a movie.
I think you should stop listening to those people because, number one, you're missing out on films.
What, no, that's it. I go to see it anyway. This year is just things were linked.
You didn't see After Earth.
No, I ain't need a crew to tell me about that. And that's the best example. Another $100 million movie for M. Night. Gee, who could have seen that wasn't going to be a big hit? You know, really? I mean,
think you can't talk about a film until you see it. And
look, this
damn
is
it,
just,
you know what? You know
just,
what? After Earth is this year's lockout, sir. You will watch it. If I have to come and force you to watch it myself, I will drive out there. You know what? This is Kat, and Kat will drive out there.
I want everybody listening to realize that Kat does not actually believe the things that she is saying right now. She is simply trying to get me back. She's trying to get me back for the turn that I made her watch last year. So don't listen to her when she's going, don't listen to your friends. After Earth, we need to see that. This is all her clever ploy to make me suffer.
And do a turn show. People request it every year. And that, my good sir, happens to qualify as a turn, and we shall watch it.
Well, how do you know? You haven't seen it yet. So, you know,
it might not be a turn. It might not be one, and we might say, oh my God, we've been sleeping on this thing the whole time. We prejudged it like assholes. And Will Smith is awesome with his son in a film.
Even though he's mostly laying on his back for the whole film.
You know what? You did, they didn't say what he was doing on his back. Could have been pow,
chicka, pow. Okay, let's see. I don't want to see that. So anyway, if only there had been some hint months in advance that some of these movies were not going to be the hits that they thought they were going to be. This year's been rough. I think it's time that people do something different. What?
I don't think this is terrible. You didn't see Percy Jackson that was came out, or the.
You mean the week it was in the theater? Yeah. All right. Next.
I think it was good, and people just slept on it because they didn't know what it was. Just like the first one, because I watched it and I was like, "Oh my god, this is really cute." It's a a teen take on Greek mythology. That's cute.
Yeah. It was all right. Anyway, so where were we?
You are so old.
Listen, I just like good stuff. I want to see good stuff. You know, I just want to see something good. I'm very disappointed I haven't gotten out to Elysium yet. No, just so you know how broke I am, I really, really, really wanted to see Elysium, and I just haven't had a chance to. So,
is it because of time or brokenness?
Both. It's both.
Yeah.
It's both stuff. So, it's been a rough summer.
How about I buy After Earth for you?
Oh, no, get Elysium. I want something I want to see.
No, you got to do one bad and one good.
All right, fine. I will find you a bad movie.
Oh, this is not about retaliation. Carl, this is about the viewers. You can't, you know what? If you try to find some indie crap that... nobody wants to do, there's no need for pain like that. This is a valid film. It was out there. People know it exists. So, I mean, I think After Earth is something that we should watch. Did you watch G.I. Joe Retaliation?
Or I did.
The Host?
I didn't see The Host, but I did see a G.I. Joe.
Was that good?
Why don't we watch it and we'll see.
Okay. Birdemic 2 came out. You didn't watch the first one.
Wow. Was that supposed to motivate me in some way at all?
Oh, God. Okay. So, Oblivion and Elysium, for some reason, I keep confusing those two.
Okay. Yes, they are different films.
I know. I just keep, when I hear them, I was like, what about that? I don't know. So, let's see. I'm going down a list here. Okay. Tyler Perry presents. No, I'm sorry. Fast and Furious 6. I saw that. That was nice.
I did see that. And I just have one thing to ask about Fast and the Furious, the last movie. How long was the runway? That's all I'm going to say. Think about it.
For what?
You remember?
It was a long time ago when I watched it.
The climactic ending when they are fighting in the belly of the big C-17, cargo plane. So they're fighting in the cargo plane. The cars come around the side of the cargo plane. They're fighting on the wing of the cargo plane. They're strapping vehicles to the cargo plane. All of this is happening, and the plane's still on the runway. It's like trying to take off. Think about how long that runway would have to be in order for all... Because it's going at plane speed, people. This is not going at 2 miles an hour. So, I mean, I want you to think about how long the fight, the chase, the explosion, how long that was, and then just draw that out on a runway to see how long that would have to be. And just
I think you're overthinking it.
Yeah, okay, once again, yes, you say that. But I just... When I say that it is like 8 minutes long, and you think how fast a plane is going on a runway, an 8 minute long runway, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so Lone Ranger.
Yeah, see, again, who could have seen that wasn't going to be great?
Yeah, I don't know why they decided on that. Mm-hmm, yeah. That didn't look good at all. I mean, I was... sort of offended for some reason because I didn't want to see a Native American.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. It made me uncomfortable. I didn't want to. Did you Red 2? That was another film out.
Yes, it was a film. I saw.
I liked the first one.
I did too.
Okay, Kick-Ass 2.
Man, I have not heard good things about Kick-Ass.
Really?
No.
I like the first one.
I own the first one. I loved it. I have not heard good things at all about Kick-Ass 2.
Huh, interesting. That's interesting.
Yes, that
That is concerning.
it really that's the kind of summer it's been.
Okay, Riddick, I have not heard good things about that, and I'm not sure how that could go wrong. I mean, it has Starbuck and Vin Diesel, so like I don't know how you could go wrong.
I haven't heard a thing about it. I don't know.
Really?
Not a thing. Strange. Yep.
Okay, interesting. Little Mermaid. Oh wow. Cloudy Chance Meatballs. Ragnarok. Gravity. What's Gravity?
Okay, that's coming up. Sandra Bullock and
Oh,
is Clooney in it? You
yes.
know, that one looks pretty darn spooky. That one's
Yeah, I want to see that. Okay. Captain Phil. Machete Kills. I don't want to see that.
What?
The,
Oh, Machete Kills? He's got a
yeah.
sequel coming out? Oh, I love Machete. It's
Yeah.
awesome. Machete.
Yeah.
Because Machete from Texas.
The Fifth Estate with Benedict Cumberbatch. It's not sci-fi, but it has Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, you just like saying his name.
He's Khan, for F's sake. Okay, moving right along. Jeez. Ender's Game, we already said. You said you were concerned. I say,
I'm going to see it. I'm going to go
yee-haw.
see it, but I am concerned.
Thor, the Dark World.
Jeez, you know, I still am rather surprised at how much I enjoyed Thor, so I am
Oh,
definitely going to see
love
it.
Thor.
Yeah, I know why you love Thor. It's his hammer.
Hunger Games. Are you gonna get burned again by that?
God, I don't want to see it. I might have to see it just because the crew is dragging me. I don't want to see it though.
Might miss it because I don't care.
Yep.
I don't even want to see the first one for free on Netflix. The Hobbit.
God, I'm scared. The
I haven't
last
seen
one.
it.
You what? Huh?
I'm
What?
not doing it.
You're not gonna go?
No.
I
I'm
gotta
done.
go. I have to do it. I
No,
have to do
done.
it. Just
I'm
it's just
over it.
it's part of my Tolkien cred. I have to go. They know that. I have to go. But man, if I tell you, if there's another Muppet sing-off midway through this film, that's I'm just gonna walk out the theater. I'm telling you right now, I do not want to see that mess. Come on. Come on.
Okay, so that's pretty much what we're looking for in the movie releases, guys. If you know of any films that we aren't,
Oh,
oh, what?
okay. You go ahead. I just wanted to throw in for the indie film folks,
Indie film. I
Europa.
got an indie film. I got an indie film.
Okay, go ahead.
Sharknado.
That's it for the independent film folks. At Europa Report is very good. It's very good. Let me qualify it this way. I loved 2010, A Space Odyssey. Love that movie.
Wait,
And what? You
I
let me
thought it
finish.
was 2001.
Oh my God,
Oh,
you.
yes, it was the second one.
Okay, see, just let me finish, please. 2010, Space Odyssey, it was a sequel to 2001. Some people liked it, some people didn't. But if you wished that there was more, in other words, there are moments in 2010 when you're like, oh, what happened? Or I wish I could find out more. The crazy thing is, Europa Report actually seems to pick up right where 2010 left off. I mean, it's almost a seamless pickup from where 2010 left off. So if you guys are
Is this
fans,
part of the
it's not, I don't think it's supposed to be. I don't think it's supposed to be. But it really, I'm just not joking. It really felt like, 2015 is what the movie felt like. In terms of pacing, in
Guess what?
terms of,
Guess what? I
what?
asked Siri to open the
Yes.
pod bay doors. That's the first thing I asked Siri, or Sorrel, because I
Okay.
changed it to the male voice.
Okay,
Okay, I'm
and
sorry. Continue.
you're just having fun 'cause with your new iPhone. That's all. You just
It's
brag.
so pretty.
It just rang. But so if you like 2010 and you like the kind of hard science edge where it's just, you know, it's just beyond what's possible right now, but still plausible and everything, check out Europa Report.
Does that mean I need to watch 2010?
Well, I don't know.
Because I watched 2001, and it's kind of like Blade Runner in that sometimes I don't make it all the way through those two films for some reason.
2010 is different than 2001 in terms of like, scope. What?
Like how? Like, do we spread a black box for like half a film?
I'll put it this way. It doesn't take the entire history of humanity to get through 2010.
Like, 2001, I want to see that stuff again.
Actually have to watch through the entire history of humanity to get through 2001. 2010 is
great.
But see, here's the other thing. I love the 80s, too. And you don't feel, you ain't felt the 80s until you watched 2010. It's funny. I mean, everything is
80s.
It is 80s. I mean, it's Cold War. It's just, it's Omni Magazine. It's just the quick, campy computer graphics. It is. But I love 2010. You know, because of course Hal is in it, so I love Hal. But just the story. You know, I like the story of it. So I'm not going to give it away. Europa Report is a little indie film. If you liked 2010. Or if you've seen 2010 and there's stuff about it that's kind of itching, you're like, I wish there was more. I'm telling you, it happens in Europa Report. It's like a seamless continuation. So check it out. I liked it.
All right. So it's not a turd. It's not branded.
No. This is much better.
Okay. So I'm not trusting any.
I told you that was a turd. Now, come on. I'll tell you if it's a turd. It's not a turd. It's not. It's indie film, so it's got, you know, it's got that sort of bubble leanness about it. But the effects are good. The story is good. The acting's pretty good.
Was it Moon indie film?
You know what? It felt like a cross between Defying Gravity and Moon. In terms of how it felt.
Nice.
Yep.
Man, that was an unfortunate show, man. It started off so terribly, and then it got really good.
Look, that's my same complaint to all good sci-fi series. Don't take a season to bring in the sci-fi. All right? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I think we've done a lot of films, and I think the next episode, we're going to talk about TV shows.
All right, I'm with it.
You like that? Okay, well, guys, we have a website. It is scifipartyline.com. You can call us on Twitter. Well, you can't call us. Well, maybe you can call us on Twitter. I don't know.
So they are expanding off of Twitter.
It's at scifipartyline. We're on facebook.com/scifipartyline. If you have negative comments, send them to @roboMinister. We'll take care of those. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. End of line.